Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I'm just sitting here in the studio, the radio studio, and I'm just thinking of how much God loves us and how much He desires for all of you to know how much He loves you, how much He cares about you. And the closer we draw to Him, the more we can accurately discern His voice. Because the enemy puts on all kinds of disguises, the devil, to try and trap you or try to intrigue you or try to entice you away from what God is saying. It's interesting, but my experience, and many of us who've spoken about it, the difference between a voice that purports to be God but really is the enemy in disguise, when he is enticing you to do something and trying to give you all kinds of reasons why it's all right to do it or good to do it. I don't know about you, but yes, you want to respond. Everything in you, in your being, your human being, wants to respond. We want self-satisfaction. We want to be in control. We want to receive all kinds of praise. It's all our drives, our pride, our envy, our jealousy, our selfishness, all those kinds of things the enemy plays on and tries to get us to follow him rather than God. And what I want to say to you very importantly this morning is that it takes practice to learn to discern the voice of God and the way he speaks to you. Because it's always very hidden, but he does. And you need a good spiritual director to help you so that you don't say, oh, this is from God. You always have someone else check it out. Look, I think God wants me to do this. Give me your input. Look for wise people. Don't ever say, oh, that's it. That's what God wants. Don't discern it ever on your own. Always ask. Because the enemy prowls around seeking whom he may devour. And I do not want any of my listeners ever devoured because the enemy got in there and moved you in the wrong direction. So let's take a look today at the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 10 to 16. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. Why was she gathering sticks? To try to have a little fire in her home. A widow was gathering sticks there, and he called out to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." And she left to get it. She could have said, "Get it yourself." She could have said, "I'm poorer than you are." She could have said all kinds of things, but what does she do? She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and for my son, and when we have eaten it, we will die." Now, she's not morbid. She's simply stating a fact. This is the last food we have, so therefore we will die. Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says the jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth." She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. So Elijah was calling her to step out, wasn't he? She was looking at her human wisely. She was looking at her human lack. And she was saying, there's nothing left for us but to die. But Elijah says to her, don't be afraid. go and do as you propose, but first, would you do this for me? Now, here she is, knowing that death is imminent if she has no more food, and he's asking her, just make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son, which would mean all the flour was gone, probably. And what happened? She did as Elijah had asked her to do. Did that take faith and courage? She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. And the jar of flour, the little flour that they had left, did not go empty. And the jug of oil did not run dry. In other words, God will supply, brothers and sisters, if we look to him. Yes, we need to use our human wisdom. Yes, we need to use our intellect, of course. But we need not to put all our reliance on those gifts that God has given us. We need first to go to him. And in the middle of a situation, go to him. And when you bring it to a conclusion, go to him and give thanksgiving. But say, Lord, teach me, show me the way to go, show me what decisions to make, rather than saying, oh, I know what I've done, I know what works. Even when you do know, even if what you are planning is very good and you know it, still give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, this is the path I'm on, this is the journey I need to make, this is what I hope to accomplish. Please bless the work of my hands or show me another way. And be honest about that. Come to him frequently and just say that, or show me another way. And if there is, God will do it. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. It's a great, great blessing when you actually realize that God knows the number of the hairs on your head. He knows you through and through better than you know yourself. But he gives us free will. He doesn't intervene. He blesses, he cares for us, but oh, how he loves it when we come to him and ask for his help, that he can bring us safely home to him and bring many other people besides because we listened to him. Learn how to sit with the Lord. It's not like, going to the money machine, so to speak, at the bank and pushing buttons and out comes the money. It's not that way. And I've said this to you before. It's being willing to sit with the Lord. I wanted an answer on something, and, it was 5 days of prayer. But when it came, it really came. So people say, I didn't hear anything. God wouldn't pay any attention to me anyway. And I say, of course he would. Of course he would. And he does. Perhaps, how long did you wait? Well, I prayed for 10 or 15 minutes, and nothing came. We're talking about a relationship. We're not talking about a machine that spits out the answer. We're talking about a relationship. How much do you trust him? Very, very important, brothers and sisters. Very important. The second reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28. Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have had to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice, just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. Do you eagerly await him? When you receive the Eucharist, do you thank him for the gift, the food for the journey? Do you thank him for the gift of himself? Do you seek to follow him more closely? Do you repent of your sin in a regular way? Because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But that doesn't disqualify you. It's refusal to ask for forgiveness that can end up disqualifying you. Not because God wants to, but because of your choice. And the gospel for this Sunday is taken from Mark 12, verses 38 to 44. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." Pharisees were the ones who put themselves as the best, you know, in terms of observing the law. They observe every jot and tittle of the law. Therefore, God owes them. No, brothers and sisters, we're humble because we know we're sinful. We seek to follow him as closely as we can, but it's only by his grace, which he lavishly, generously imparts and keep imparting. It's we who don't open the present, don't open the package. We fall back on earthly things when something goes wrong. We look at earthly solutions, and when we've done all that, maybe if all of that fails, we might turn to God. Put God first. Put God first. Even if you know a solution, say to the Lord, "Lord, here's the dilemma. Here's my solution. Would you please help me to see if this is the right way to go? Is there someone I should talk to? Is there something I should read?" Trust him far more than you trust yourself. He says they devour the homes of widows as a pretext, like I'm doing something good. They recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation. And then the passage goes on to say, Jesus then sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." Do you see what God is showing? It's not the externals that count, it's the heart. We look at a small offering and we say, "Huh, that's not much." How does God see it? God sees it very differently. He sees it fully accurately. He knows the sacrifice that's going into even some very small donations. And he sees so many rich people offering from their surplus, not from their need. But if the poor make a donation, it's often out of their need. In other words, they're not going to get something they need because they're willing to give. Now, that can take all kinds of forms. But the point is, the externals and what the world values are not what's important. It's the attitude of the heart. And it's the generosity of spirit to love God and to serve his people. That's what counts. May God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.